We are back with another episode of the Red Production Company podcast. We recorded this one a few months back while we were still shooting The Stranger with Harlan Coben and Danny Brocklehurst. I'm honoured to be joined today by Harlan Coben, who is an international bestseller. He's written 31 novels, which have been adapted into 43 languages across the globe. His most recent book, Runaway, just came out recently, didn't it?
Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago.
Came out.
And Danny Brocklehurst, who is a BAFTA and International Emmy Award-winning screenwriter, writing for things such as Shameless, Clocking Off, and Talk to Me. So I'll start with you, Harlan.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get started with screenwriting, with writing books? Where was the?
Oh my God, writing books! I've been doing it. This is my 31st book, so I've been writing about one a year. So I started when I was seven. But I'm ching. Yeah, it's good, right? I was actually a little later in life to it. In college, I guess, early 20s. Some people always say they always knew they were going to be a writer, which I find obnoxious.
Yeah.
But, and then I had this idea for a story. I started to write it, and I got it's almost like a virus, I think, where you have no choice but to keep writing. And so that's how it started.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Danny, how did you get started with screenwriting?
Oh, I always knew I wanted to be a writer.
I knew that was coming. My partner, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. I was working... I worked as a journalist for quite a number of years up here in Manchester, just, you know, on listings magazines, that kind of thing. But I was always writing fiction, and I did some stuff for The Stage originally. But, television was kind of where my heart was, television and film, really. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of started writing spec scripts and... you know, it's very difficult because you always have to condense this story down. It took a long, long time to break into the industry, but Nicola Schindler and Red Productions were actually the person who gave me my break, so I've remained incredibly loyal to them over the years.
How many shows have we done with you? About eight?
Yeah, very possibly, yeah.
Long, long working relationship, which we're all very happy about, of course. Yeah. So do you guys have any particular writing processes? Is it come up with an idea, sit down, bash it out, or...
You know, when we're writing together?
Independently, and then we'll move on.
Well, when I do novels, it's just me. I mean, as opposed to TV, I'm the writer, director, producer, key grip, cameraman, lighting, sound. I'm everything.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit more, you're a little bit of a dictator as well. So when we then adapt it, or when we're doing, say, for the five or the shows that we've done together, it's a different process. I would say it's never easy to break it down. I'm more the idea and story guy. Mm-hmm. Danny would be more the guy who does the rest of it. But at that, saying that, we both get into each other's territory a lot. And I think the key is that, for us, is that we always have the same goal, and we have the same vision, I think, for whatever the project is. And so 99.9% of the time, I think, we see eye to eye. I don't think there's been a really time we'd have a strong disagreement on something. So that's how, from my perspective, his perspective may be better. Because I throw a lot. I'm like the raw. I would say, like, if it was a business, I'm the raw material that has to come out of the ground. So if we're digging up diamonds, and you know, I'm the guy who gets the ugly rock out of the ground, and then his job is to make it look like something you'd want to wear.
Yeah,
nice. Hey, I like
that's good. Yeah. Kind of different processes with things like The Five and Safe compared to The Stranger, which we're working on now.
Yeah.
Because you've got a book to work with from, you know, with The Stranger, whereas the others, it was an idea that you came up with. What did you find was the difference between working on The Stranger compared to The Five and Safe?
Well, you'd think it would be easier in a way because you've got a book to work with, but strangely, it didn't really work out that way. I mean, I would say, you know, I've written four of the eight of The Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, episode one was easier to write because episode one kind of remains quite close to the book, and then some of episode eight, not the whole of it, you know, we kind of go back to some stuff that happens in the book, but a lot of the stuff that happens between two and eight is very different, and once you start kind of moving things around, changing, you know, moving the furniture, everything gets altered. So whilst it was great to have a book there as a safety net and so many brilliant ideas to pull out of it, I think, you know, you'll agree, we've changed a lot along the way.
Yeah.
So it was a funny one, really, because with Safe, you know, Harlan came up with the original, you know, the premise, and then we did what we normally do, which is we talked a lot about it, you know, beated out the story across eight episodes with our brilliant story producer, Richard Fee.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of making it up, so you can always throw new ideas in. But with The Stranger, we had to do a delicate balance in that, really, between keeping what was great in the book, but also feeling free enough to bring in new material. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you said when writing a book, you're obviously in control of everything. Right. And going from that, did you find it difficult with The Stranger to move away from the book, to give the freedom to turn it into something that works for episodic television as opposed to a standalone story?
Actually, what's funny is, unlike most novelists, I want to change it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did the movie Tell No One in France, even though the story took place in New York. I've moved things around a lot. I did No Second Chance in France also, where I changed the lead character from male to female. And I was the one who actually pushed us in this particular show to change the stranger, and the book was a man, to somebody younger and female. So I like to make changes. I don't like adaptations that are slavishly devoted to the text. So I'm actually in favor of it. It makes it kind of a mess because, you know, I so carefully constructed this novel that when you pull things out, you really have the tendency to knock things over. So we have to be sure, it takes a long time to make sure everything else is in order. We also, in the book, there's no teenage story. And we really wanted a teenage story. I know Netflix likes it, we liked it, we did it in Safe, we did it in The Five. We have ridiculously talented teenagers in this thing. So actually, you know, we worked a lot. That's a completely original part of the story that had nothing at all to do with the book, a lot of which my daughter, because she's younger, actually helped us beat out. She has a voice. She's really edgy in a way. When she was giving some of the ideas, Danny and I would kind of go, well, it actually worked. But it was like, at first, we just aren't from that world. So it really, it makes it a much more fun thing. I look at it kind of like, if I do really well with a book, I am a tennis player or a golfer, I win this trophy, I'm there on the court by myself. Here, I look at it like we're a World Cup championship team. Yeah. I might be captain of that team, but everybody's got to score, everybody's got to play defense, the goalie's got to do their job, and I look at it as a team effort.
Yeah. Fantastic.
He's not captain.
No,
he's not captain. I mean, there's a showman.
Closer to water boy, maybe.
So you write the scripts for the show. Is it then set in stone, or is it a living, breathing process as we're going through filming? I mean, obviously, we're just coming to the end of block one now as we're filming. Is block two now set in stone, or will things change with the scripts?
Nothing is ever set in stone in television, in my experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a good thing, and I think you've got to be open to changes pretty much until it goes on the television. Yeah. You know, obviously things start to get locked down, and once you've filmed it, you know, it becomes more and more locked down. Mm-hmm. But even to the point where you're editing it, things can still change. You can still add things, take things away, you know. So I think you've got to remain reasonably fluid in, you know, especially open to new ideas. But obviously there is a process, and you know, once you've got the scripts, once you've done the read through, and then you start filming, then the changes get less and less and less.
Yeah.
But, you know, occasionally our actors will ring us up or send us an email and say, well, hey, how about this thing? Or I don't like that. Or I want to do this. You kind of got to remain reasonably open to that stuff. Mm. Or the director might have a new idea, you know. So, yeah.
So it's a lot of people contributing different.
I agree. I mean, I think you have to remain flexible. And there's times that a line just won't work for them when they're saying it, and they'll contact us last second. Today, we're going to listen to the table read. For me, that's like we've done a composition of a musical composition, and today we're going to listen to it being played for the first time, and we're going to be listening for false notes. Mm-hmm. So after this meeting, when the actors are going to read it, we'll all meet, and we'll say, you know, that part really didn't work, or I love that. Can we even strengthen it more? And we will still be finagling with it up until even the day of. Sometimes in the day of, they'll say they're wherever they are, that particular setting won't work, can we change the line? Yeah, you know. And I think the key also is to be open, because, again, having written a novel or whatever else, it's easy for me to be defensive, saying, no, this is the way we do it. And I've learned that actually a lot of times the ideas also will stimulate an idea that's not what they thought. So they may think this line's not working because of X, and actually it's not working because of Y. So I think we always have to remain fluid, and we really are a team. I can't tell you how many emails we exchange every day. I mean, every day, tons of emails on this stuff, whatever's going on, costume. Sometimes hair they're too asking many. Me about. Oh, my God. It's, like, ridiculous.
I can't keep up with the email.
Yeah, no, I'm better at it. Job. Nicola and I are, like, every day, we back and forth. Danny just kind of like chimes in every once in a while because he gets tired of us.
I just say like, yeah, good for me. Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back. Yeah, I've done well today.
That's right.
So you are getting involved with, like you say, costume and things.
Every
aspect of the show.
I watch the Rushes every day.
Every day.
Every day. I study them like a rabbinical student with the Talmud. I watch them every day, and I'll find things that have done, that are not just done right or wrong, but I'll then say, you know, maybe in the story, I sent one to Danny yesterday about maybe we should add an X scene about this in, now that I'm watching the, this doesn't really capture it fully. And Danny's like, oh yeah, well, we can do that instead. And so that's how we work.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah, well,
how did you find going on set yesterday? Was it?
It was awesome. I always loved
being on set. Was it your vision? Did you see?
You know what's interesting about going on set, and it's easy to be jaded. Like I said, I've written 31 novels and everything like that. But every time I go on set or say in the table room, I'll probably say this again because I say it all the time. It's like I think to myself, I had this little idea in my home in New Jersey, and now there's 150 people bringing it to life. You know, here in Manchester, and it's just, wow, that's cool. I don't care who you are. If that doesn't jazz you, then you don't belong in this business. And the same thing with Danny writes a script, right? We don't go on a set that often because it's really boring to be on set. And we get in the way. Wherever you stand, you are in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
People are constantly moving you. But the first time you go on that set, you look around, you see these lights and these trucks and these cameras and these people, and don't you still get emotional a little bit? Like, wow, you know, I thought of this little dumb line that I had in my house, and now it's going to be brought to life.
Yeah.
And then millions of people will see it. I mean, that's just cool.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
At the same time.
Choose to go at the right time, you get a free lunch as well.
So. Oh, yeah.
This is Danny's big thing. He shows up right at lunchtime, so it's perfect.
Right at lunchtime.
Exactly.
A pretty varied menu as well.
Catering's very important to Danny.
So how is it having such kind of big name actors like Richard Armitage? Does he bring a lot to the table? Is there a lot of conversation? And Hannah John Kamen, are they bringing a lot more ideas, or is, you know, how is it working with them? How would you say?
Some do, some don't. But I mean, this cast especially, because besides those two names, we have Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah.
And I wrote her a letter basically begging her, saying how much fun this would be to do it in Stephen Ray. Oh my God. And so, you know, there's a ton of Sean Dooley, Paul Kay. It's a great cast, and both young and you know, new people and veterans. So I think we're feeling really fortunate about this particular cast. But yeah, if they have a suggestion, or that's part of TV. So like, if I'm writing a book, I create Adam, played by Richard Armitage, and I control everything about him.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't. So I create him, Danny's gonna change him around in dialogue, Richard's gonna bring him something else to life, our director's gonna tell him to do something different. And so it goes through a lot of different process. And so the Adam at the end shouldn't be exactly how I envision.
Yeah.
If it is, it's usually a problem. It should be slightly different than I envision. Make sense?
Yep.
That sounded pretty deep, didn't it?
Very deep. Brilliantly deep.
Yeah, thanks.
What kind of involvement did Netflix have in the process then? Because it's going to be shown on Netflix. Yeah. How involved are they? Is it very kind of overarching, or is it more nitty gritty? Are they in these email chains that are going back and forth every day?
No. They're the best kind of creative partner in that, you know, they pay for it, obviously.
Yeah.
but no, you know, we do all the creative discussions, and then at some point we will present them with scripts or ideas or whatever, and then they will comment on them and be supportive and say, well, we think this is all great, but how about this? How about that? Have you thought about that? Maybe that doesn't quite work. And then we will go away and respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't always just do, okay, yes, you are absolutely right. Sometimes it's a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think if you're working with good people and they're throwing in good ideas, then you would be smart to listen to them.
Yeah, and obviously this whole partnership is something that you've done on Safe with Netflix and you two working together, doing now on The Stranger. Do you think there's more to come? Do you think have you got ideas that you...
I hope so. I mean, I hope this is something that, I know Netflix is interested and we're interested. We'd love to continue it.
Yeah.
Maybe Danny doesn't want to, but the rest of us, no, we'd love to continue doing this. We all have a great time together, and we think we're making great stuff.
Yeah.
So, and the fun thing also about Netflix is, so the day it comes out, they push a button, and it's in 190 countries, all 8 episodes. Only 190 countries. Millions of people watch it right away. So that's heady. That's fun, you know.
I think there's a kind of, there is a sort of nice connection, I think, between Harlan's books and what Netflix are doing. Because I think your books have always been kind of like, almost like what Netflix is doing in television, Harlan's always doing, you know, that kind of the twists, the big, the hooks to keep you reading, you know, that kind of pacey thing, but also very characterful. And I think that chimes with Netflix. I think they appreciate the fact that what they want in television is you to keep going like that, you know, and to enjoy the ride. And, you know, the books kind of, the books do that really well.
So from a screenwriting perspective, is there a difference writing for a Netflix show because it's all released at once, everything comes out, as opposed to something that's weekly episodic television? Do you find that you have to write in a certain way to make it work for the platform?
Well, it's funny, I've talked about this in the past, and I've found myself saying things like, you know, you work harder at the hooks on Netflix and things like that, as if somehow when I was writing for the BBC, we didn't do good end of episode hooks, you know, we're like, ugh, just end it there, that'll be fine. You know, I think you always want to bring the viewer back, whether they're watching it one episode per week or, you know, eight episodes in one night. But there is something about the whole Netflix model that does focus the mind on making sure that your story is propulsive and that you have very good hooks and that you are kind of, you know, I think it's just that model of, you know, it all goes out at once and you know that when an episode ends, that clock starts ticking down, 5, 4, 3, 2, and you kind of want people to go, yeah, I'll just watch another one.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I think we had an average of people watched, say, for an average of 3 days.
Yeah.
So that's... The other problem with doing it weekly, yes, in a sense, you have to do it even stronger, right, to get someone to come back a week later. But you don't want to make it torturous.
Yeah.
So if it's torture, if we torture you with a really big hook at the end, you're not going, oh, dang, boom, you're pressing a button, you're going. It's almost unfair to do too much of a cliffhanger at the end of a week without, in today's society, without causing people to get maybe a little pissed off at you.
Yeah, because then you're suffering for a whole week as opposed to being and then even
sometimes
the next day at work.
In today's world, you go, I'll wait till it all airs and then becomes a box set and then I'll watch it. So it's, but actually, I don't know, I don't think we think of it that much. I mean, I think that's how we're doing it anyway. We want it to be propulsive, energetic. We don't want you to be able to look away. You know, I say about my books, I want you to take the book to bed at 11 o'clock at night. Say, I'm just going to read for 10 minutes and then be cursing me at 5 in the morning because you couldn't put it down. Yeah. And it's the same thing with the TV show. I mean, that's what we want. We really want you to be totally invested in it for the time you're watching it. And then, and I love, my favorite emails are the ones like it's a couple and the woman says, I feel like I cheated on my husband because when he went to work, I couldn't resist watching some more episodes. I promised I would wait for him, but I couldn't. So I love that feeling. Yeah.
Fantastic. That was brilliant. I think we'll wrap it up because
we've time to go.
Time meetings to go to. Thank you all for tuning into this podcast. It's going to be hopefully the first of many, and we'll be providing educational insights into the TV industry. Thank you for listening.